Welcome to MC3. We are in this series called The Five Books, One Chapter at a Time, and our goal is for all of us to read five books in 5 weeks. And the good thing is there one chapter.
Read the Word of God.
Like, you can literally read it in 30 minutes. I know I can, because I read it in 30 minutes. I was like, if I can read it in 30 minutes, you can probably read it in 5, because I read slow. But that was our goal, just so that you could get into God's Word, and you could say, hey, I read 5 books of the Bible. There's 66, just by the way, but you read 5, okay? So you're there, you're close. But just to encourage you, just to push us and challenge us a little bit to get into God's Word. And so last week, Art talked about Obadiah, and I'm so glad he got that, because that was a little, that was rough. I was like reading that, I was like, ooh, okay, I'm good for you, Art. I get Philemon. And so I'm so excited about this book because I got to study it. I took this online course with a professor, and it was really cool. So I'll get into that later. But before we get into the text, my question for you is, who are you? Who are you? And the first thing that comes to your mind, who are you? What's the first thing that comes to your mind? For some of us, it's, I'm a mom. For some of us, it's, I'm a business owner. For some, I'm a student, or I'm a child, or I'm a boss, or I'm a chef, or I'm a doctor. So who are you? What's the first couple things that come to your mind? Who are you? I remember in high school and even in college, if you would ask me who I was, I'd be like, I'm an athlete. I'm a baseball player. Boom. That's who I am. And as I get older, that's not who I am. That's what I did. I do this with Cruz every time he throws a temper tantrum, or he's not kind to his little sister, or whatever it is. I'm like, Cruz, who are you? And I told him to say 3 things. Cruz is kind. Cruz is brave. Cruz is strong. Cruz is kind. Cruz is brave. Cruz is strong. Because that's who he is. Whatever he becomes, whether he's an athlete and a pro baseball player, or a doctor or a musician or whatever, a chef, those are just things that he does. That's not who he is. And for most of us, we get caught up in what we do. You know, for me, it's people, I'm a pastor or a minister, and you get a lot of pressure in that, and you put a lot of pressure on yourself, but that's not who I am. That's what I do. That's what I'm called to do. And so for us, we got to be reminded of who we are, who we are. And we're going to read in Philemon. Paul writes this to Philemon. And so he's writing this, and we'll talk about reconciliation. But just check out the first part. So this is going to be like a 2-part sermon. So the first 2, and then there's going to be a meat part, and then, all right, so just hang with me. So Philemon 1-3, it says this, Paul, a prisoner for Christ, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved fellow worker, and Apphia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, the church in your house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And so before we get into that, that's just the intro, right? That's just Paul writing to him and saying, hey, what's up? But notice something. Paul says, Paul, a prisoner of Christ. Paul knew who he was. If you look, I was like, oh, cool. God, like, opened my eyes to this. And he's like, hey, look, if you look in Ephesians, you look in Galatians, 2 Corinthians, all the letters that Paul wrote, Paul says something like this. Paul, a servant of Christ. Paul, a follower of Christ. Paul, an ambassador of Christ. Paul, a prisoner of Christ. Paul knew who he was, right? He was the Lord. He was Christ, right? And so we have to know who we are. Who are you? Who are you? You're a child of God. You are a servant of Christ. You are a follower of Christ. You're a disciple of Christ. You're an ambassador of Christ. That is who you are. What you do is totally different, right? God allows you to do things, right? If he calls you to be a CEO or a paramedic or a nurse or whatever it is, that's awesome. You are that. You can do those things. But that's not who you are. You are a follower of Christ. You are a servant of Christ. You are a prisoner of Christ. And so we have to be reminded who we are. And Paul seems to remind himself when he writes his letters, hey, this is who I am. I got to remember, right? I'm not just a missionary planting churches. I'm not just a church planter. I am Christ's servant. I am his ambassador. I am his disciple. I'm his apostle, right? I know who I am. So remember who you are. That you are a follower of Christ. You're a disciple of Christ. You're an heir. You're a royal priesthood. You're an ambassador. That is who you are. You are a child of the King. And then as I always ask Cruz, I'm like, Cruz, who are you? He's like, I am strong. I am brave. I am kind. Then I ask the second question, why? Why are you these things? And he says, because God is with me, God is for me, God is in me. God is with me, God is for me, God is in me. The reason why I can be kind is because God is with me, God is for me, God is in me. The reason I can be brave is because God is with me, God is for me, God is in me. The reason I can be strong is because God is with me, God is in me, God is for me. So remember who you are and why you are that person. Why you are a follower of Christ. Because God is with you, God is for you, God is in you. And we see that over and over again through the scriptures. Anybody who follows Christ, anybody that's an ambassador of Christ, anybody that's an heir of Christ, God is with them, God is for them, God is in them. So as we continue, Philemon 4 through 7, I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers because I hear of your love and the faith that you have towards the Lord Jesus for all the saints. And I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. For I derive much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. As we remember who we are, we got to remember that we're part of a kingdom family. Cruz cannot be strong, kind, or brave alone. He needs his family. You cannot be strong, brave, kind alone. You need your family. And Paul is sharing, talking to Philemon and said, hey, there's a group of us. We are part of a royal family. We cannot do this alone. We cannot do this alone. And so what we do for one another, as we remember who we are, we refresh each other, right? He said, you refresh my heart. And so we refresh each other's hearts and souls. We bring joy to others. We bring comfort to others. We share our faith with one another. When we're going through a season that we just can't get out of, right? Have you ever been there where you're like, man, God, I know you're good. I know you're holy. I know you love me. I know you want the best for me, but I just can't get out of this funk. That's why you have a kingdom family. That's why we come together and we gather as a church to comfort one another, to give joy to one another, and to share our faith with one another. We all have a story. We all have been through something that we needed somebody else to encourage us. We needed somebody else to comfort us. We needed somebody else to share their faith, their walk with Christ, so that we could be strong together to remind us who we are. A child of the King, a follower of Christ. Paul is writing to Philemon, just saying, hey, look, I'm remembering who I am. I want you to remember who you are, right? And as we remember we're part of a family, a kingdom family. Too often the church tries to compete with one another. Like, don't go to that church, come over here. Oh, you've been going to that church, come over here, right? No, we're part of a family. We're part of a family. We're supposed to work together and encourage. If there's a big church coming over here and they're huge, man, good for you. Awesome. Keep doing God's work. There's a small church coming. Oh, good for you. Keep doing God's work. We're here together to serve one another, to comfort one another, to give joy with one another, to share our faith with one another, to remember who we are. And so, as we do those two things, this is the hard part. This is the part you're probably not going to like. I'm going to be honest with you, okay? We're going to talk about reconciliation. And as the church, we've kind of failed you. We kind of failed each other in talking about reconciling. And we're going to see why. So Philemon 8 through 16, we're halfway there. We're almost done with the whole book. You almost read a whole book today. All right. Accordingly, though I am bold enough in Christ, this is Paul, to command you to do what is required. He's talking to Philemon, of course. Yet for love's sake, I prefer to appeal to you. I, Paul, an old man, and now a prisoner also for Christ Jesus, I appeal to you for my child, Onesimus, whose father I became in my imprisonment. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful to you and me. I am sending him back to you, sending my very heart. I would have been glad to keep him with me. We'll talk about why he wanted to keep him with him. In order that he might serve me on your behalf during my imprisonment for the gospel. But I prefer to do nothing without your consent in order that your goodness might not be by compulsion, but by your own accord. For this perhaps is why he was parted from you for a while, that you might have him back forever, no longer as a bondservant, but more than a bondservant, as a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. So if you consider me your partner, receive me as you have received him. I receive him as you received me. If he has wronged you at all or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, write this with my own hand. I'll repay it, to say nothing of you owing me, even your own self. Yes, brother, I want some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. At the same time, prepare a guest room for me, for I'm hoping that through your prayers, I'll be graciously given to you. Whew, it's long, right? So Paul is writing this letter to Philemon because Onesimus was Philemon's slave or bondservant. Now, slave back in the ancient times meant totally different. It did not mean, it was not about race or ethnicity. Again, I learned this from a professor, so he knows way more. I'll just kind of letting you know what I learned from him, okay? So as I was studying this in this class, he was saying it wasn't about, anybody could be a slave. Like if you lost a wager or if you owed something, you become a slave, and it wasn't what we think of here in America, okay? So I know it's hard not to think of that because I was, like, very uncomfortable talking about it, and I was like, okay, God, you just helped me through this. So it was not like what we think about here in the States, all right? This was a whole different animal, okay? It still wasn't good. It still wasn't right, okay? So just clarify that. So Onesimus was Philemon's slave. Onesimus runs away. Okay, so he ran away. From what I learned, scholars think that he stole something. And as we saw in the letter, you can kind of see that if he owes you anything, that kind of hints to him taking something. So the other side was Onesimus found Paul and heard his preaching and, man, repented of his sins and accepted Christ and started doing some good work, right? Because you'll see as he writes letters that he Omniscience is in some of his other letters that he's sending to the churches, right? And so what Paul is doing here is, okay, I need to tell Philemon, hey, look, he's here. Because if he didn't, then Paul could be in trouble too, and he can be executed as well for harboring a fugitive. You should just say it that way. And so Paul writes to Philemon, and he's like, hey, Onesimus is here, and I'm sending him back to you, right? We see that right here. He says, I prefer to do nothing without your consent in order that your goodness might not be compulsion, but by your own accord. So he's like, hey, I'm going to send him back. But here's why I'm sending him back, and here's why I believe you should let him go and serve you and serve me. And so Paul is saying to Philemon, hey, look, man, please, like, just read this, reconcile, right? And you begin to see what Paul learned from Christ. He said, hey, if he's done anything wrong to you, put it on my account. Where else do we see that happening in the gospel? We see Jesus taking the sins of the world, your sin and my sin, on his account. And we see reconciliation there. And so we see what Paul is doing. He is trying to help Philemon and Onesimus reconcile. All right? It's not just Philemon. Onesimus has to go back too and has to repent and say, hey, look, man, I did you wrong. I made a mistake. And own up to his part of the bargain. But they both have to reconcile. And so we, as followers of Christ, have to reconcile with one another. As I was practicing this, of course, you know, God just starts convicting you, and there's a person that I needed to reconcile with. And I was like, okay, I'll do it after I preach, you know, because, you know, I'll be feel better or whatever. He's like, no, you need to do it. So I text this person. I'm like, hey, can we talk? Just want to ask you, I just said, can we talk? You know, it's never good when you say you want to talk. So I was like, dang, I shouldn't have said those words. They respond, yeah, what's this about? And I was like, oh, God, I have to lie here. So I was like, oh, this is about finances. I don't know. So they were like, okay, cool. Yeah, cool. So I call them up. My stomach's in knots. My armpits are sweating. And I put deodorant on, and have you ever had sweat just drip? I know it's a little TMI for you guys, but just sweat dripping down. That's how nervous I was. I call, and I was like, hey, look, I lied to you. It's not about that. I want to reconcile. I want to ask for forgiveness, and I want to extend forgiveness. Because it was a two-way street. And as I'm, you know, there's things that I wanted to say, like, you hurt me. I wish things would have ended differently. And I just said sorry. And I was just thankful for them and that I love them. And I was appreciative of them that whole time that we were together. And we got to do ministry together, and we got to serve together. And I just felt like God was like, good. You know, like, that's what we need to teach our people. We need to reconcile. For far too long, we've been holding grudges and leaving churches because of the music or because of the carpet or because of what the preacher's wearing, whether he's wearing holy jeans. I practiced it that way too. He's wearing holes in his jeans. Like, we can't walk, he can't preach, or he doesn't have a suit and a tie, or, man, it's too dark in here, it's too loud in here, it's too quiet in here, whatever it is. And we need to reconcile. We don't just need to leave. We need to reconcile with one another. We need to hear each other out and speak truth, but with grace and compassion. And I'll be the first one to tell you, I'm not the best at that. I'm not. I really am not. It took me 2 years to do what I just did. 2 years. Now, that should comfort you and challenge you at the same time. It shouldn't take that long, but it might. It just might. God's timing is perfect. God's timing is good. And if I think I would have done it earlier, I would have meant it. God was still working in me, still changing me, transforming me, and softening my heart. And maybe he's doing the same for you. Because I know for some of you, somebody came up in your head, and you're like, oh, no, I ain't doing that. And you're laughing because it's true. And for us, we have to understand when we read the gospel, when we read Philemon, man, it's a challenge and an encouragement to say, hey, look, we get to reconcile with one another because God reconciled with us in Christ Jesus. And if we're followers of Christ, if we're disciples of Christ, if we're heirs, if we're kids of the King, then we emulate him. We follow him. And there are three ways that Paul does this: with truth and grace, with compassion, and with a little bit of authority, right? He says, we reconcile by appealing, not commanding. Appealing to one another, not commanding one another. Hey, you hurt me, so you need to apologize so I can forgive you and we can be good and God's good. You know, no. Hey, look, this is how you hurt me. I just want you to know. I'm not expecting an apology. I just want you to know this is how it came across to me. And I want to let go of that anger, that bitterness, whatever it is. We appeal to one another. We don't command. If I were to command somebody, it's like, Paul writes, it's like, I don't want to command you, like I could, right? I could tell you, hey, you should do this, you should, like, the church has done too much of, you should do this, you should, hey, let's appeal to one another. I'm appealing to you. We need to learn how to reconcile with one another. That's how the church became the church, because they were reconciling, they were loving, they were a community, they had patience and compassion. They had grace. They spoke with truth and authority. They reconciled. And so I'm appealing to all of us that we need to reconcile with one another. But we must appeal, not command. We need to appeal to people. Hey, look, you can believe whatever you want to believe, but I just want you to know, like, if I don't agree with your stance, I love you, but I'm not, this is where we got to draw a line, right? Like, you're appealing to that person. You're not commanding them to say, hey, you need to stop with that. No, hey, look, we see things differently. So I'm appeal to you. I'm going to say, hey, look, let's just stop right here. Let's love with grace and truth. And we don't have to cross this line until we're mature enough to do it, right? Like, we have to get there. And so as we appeal, we see Paul also appeal with love and humility. And we see that it's not just appealing, we have to do it on our own accord, right? Like, we have to understand, we have to take responsibility. We have to take ownership. We can't just say, hey, I'm appealing to you because I feel, I'm appealing to you because of sincerity, because of what I feel God teaching me and showing me and transforming me. Like, my hope is not that you would feel guilty, is that you would feel, this nudge of like, okay, God, I know I have to reconcile with my son or my daughter or my best friend or my mom or my dad or somebody. And you're not commanding me to, but you're showing me how to. And so I'm going to be obedient. Not because you're telling me to, because I want to, because I'm remembering who I am. I'm a follower of you, and if you call me to do something, I want to do it with sincerity. And so we do it with our own accord. And as we do it with our own accord, we do it out of obedience. Obedience. We reconcile with appealing, with our own accord, and out of obedience. We get to follow Christ, not because of anything that we've done, but because of his sacrifice. Because Christ is obedience to the Father. And so we, in turn, become obedient to the Father because Christ was obedient. So we must reconcile. This is hard. This is tough. Like, it's easy to reconcile with your wife or your kids, maybe not as you get older, but when it's somebody that hurts you, that betrayed you, could be an ex-spouse, it could be a brother or a sister, it could be a mom and a dad that left you or whatever it could be. It's tough. And we have to understand. This is the hardest part. We have to understand that when we try to reconcile, if they're a follower of Christ, that they might not be there yet. If they're not a follower of Christ, they might never get there. But we can just appeal to them and say, hey, look, I need to get this off my chest. So I can be obedient to my God. So I can be obedient, and not just be obedient, but remember who I am. I'm a follower of Christ. And if I follow Christ and I repent and I ask for your forgiveness, or I give you forgiveness, or I let go of whatever bitterness I have for you, you are sharing the gospel by your obedience, by your willingness to reconcile with one another. And so, that's the heavy part, okay? We're going to finish this book right here, 23 to 25. It says, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus sends greetings to you, and so do Mark, Articius, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. So as we remember who we are, and we remember we're part of a kingdom family, we got to remember we're part of a team. You're part of a team, right? As we are a family, obviously there's little groups of families, right? Like people that you get along with, people that you do life with, right? It's not just hundreds of people in your house, you're like, oh yeah, right? It's, you have a close-knit group, right? You have a close group, and that's your team to help you, to remind you who you are, to remind you that you're part of a kingdom family, and to remind you to reconcile with one another. I have a few good friends that are knit close to me, and you know, I call them, they're all different states, and we do Marco Polo, or I, you know, we just try to stay in contact. And they remind me of who I am. There are seasons where I don't remember who I am. There are times where it's hard to remember. When you make a mistake, when you fall, when you're just going through a season, everybody's been there, right? Like, God, I don't even know if I follow you anymore. Like, it's just that hard. And then I have a team of brothers that love me, and they're like, hey, you got it. God loves you. You're a follower. And they pray for me. They encourage me. They challenge me. Like, hey, have you read your Bible? Oh, come on. Got you. I got you. That's how we remember who we are. God's given us a community to remind us. And as we come, as the church comes together and gathers and worships, we are to remind one another, hey, you're a follower of Christ. You're a follower of Christ. You're a child of the King. You're forgiven. You're redeemed. There's mercy. There's grace. There's a God who reigns. You have victory. That's why we gather, to remind one another. And then we have our small group to encourage and challenge us, to push us. Man, praise God that we get to gather. Praise God that there's stories that we get to read back in the day, that there are people that still didn't learn how to reconcile. And we get to learn from their mistakes. And so let us reconcile with one another. I don't know who you need to reconcile with, but I encourage you to pray and ask God for wisdom and guidance as you reconcile. And watch just the weight of the world fall off your shoulders as you continue to follow Christ. But not only that, let us gather. Let us gather and remind each other. You're forgiven. You're loved. You're strong. You got this. You'll persevere. Finish your race. Because we serve a God that reconciled with us in Christ. Jesus came to reconcile us to the Father. So we are reconciled and we have an advocate, the Holy Spirit. When we fall, we get to get back up because we have an advocate that says, hey, he's a child of the King. He's redeemed. He's forgiven. He's saved. He has a purpose. Let us remember that today. As we leave, as we go through this week, as school starts, let us reconcile with one another and let us gather to encourage and love one another. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you for this time together. Thank you for the message of reconciliation, God. It is hard to reconcile when we've been hurt, when we've been betrayed. But God, you showed us through Christ Jesus that we are called to reconcile with one another, just like Jesus reconciled us to you. And so God, I just pray as we talk about this topic, as we think about it, as we process it, may we be obedient to your call, to whoever we need to reconcile with. Or God, I pray that as we gather together, that we would remind one another who we are. We are followers of Christ. We are children of the King. We are loved. We are forgiven. We are redeemed. We are strong. We are brave. We are kind. All because of you. God, we love you. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to go into a time where we take communion. And just like we just talked about, Christ reconciled us. In Ephesians 4:32 says this, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ Jesus forgave you. Be kind and compassionate to one another and forgive one another. And when we take this bread and this juice, we're declaring that we're going to be kind and compassionate because we are receiving the kindness and the compassion of Christ Jesus. And we're going to forgive because we're receiving the forgiveness of our Lord. But we're also receiving a reminder of who we are. We are loved. We are strong. We are kind. We are brave. Why? Because God is in us, God is for us, and God is with us. You may take communion as you come up. If you need assistance, just raise your hand and we'll bring one to you.